hearts beat to the city streets. We began to feel the fire.
We open on beautiful, scenic Chillhaven, USA.
As the chemicals, they take us higher.
It's morning. The sun is shining. The birds are screaming their horrible screams. We cut quick little montage of cuts. Beautiful shining sun, the birds we mentioned before, trees out doing their thing, sidewalks clean and freshly swept, trash can.
Raccoons in them.
Raccoons are in them. They're sleeping. It's daytime. It's not the time for them. They'll be up later.
They should not be awake.
No.
Grandma is watering her hydrangeas.
There's a kid. He falls off a bike and his popsicle breaks. Aww!
And then we cut to a super zoomed in close up of that broken popsicle as it is broken further by the wheeling, sharpened blades of an encroaching rollerblade. We then pan up from this rollerblade and see that it is attached to the foot and ankle of
Carlos Espinosa. We see Carlos Espinosa on rollerblades, but also wearing a very cool rollerblading outfit. Wearing terry cloth, short orange shorts with an oversized white muscle tank that's almost longer than his shorts. Accompanied with a pink visor hat. Rollerblading on the sidewalk, carrying a large iced coffee. Whoa! I forgot how hard rollerblading was! I'm gonna knock my coffee over! Carlos zooms in the parking lot of one Sportzo baseball and sees his friend Theodore. Theodore!
We see Theodore, a.k.a. Hunter, wearing the exact same clothes he's been wearing this whole dang time. He's got a black t-shirt with a frayed collar and seams that implies that this is like the one black t-shirt that he owns and wears regularly. He's got a long-sleeved denim jacket with all sorts of cool patches all over it. He's got blue jeans on. He's got boots on. He's leaned up against the hood of his 1976 AMC Gremlin, and in his hand is a pair of rollerblades.
Why aren't your rollerblades on?
What? Well, I didn't rollerblade here. We're planning on like going around town rollerblading. I didn't want to waste all my blading energy before I got here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Didn't want to get tired.
Well, I'm going to keep mine on because I don't have a change of shoes.
Yeah, I know. I didn't expect you to change into your shoes and then back into your rollerblades for us to go rollerblading, Carlos. Let me pop these bad boys on real quick and we can get to shredding.
Yes! So what kind of things should we be looking for?
Well, we're trying to figure out if this was just a routine disappearance or if something freakier is going on. So, keep your eyes out for signs of a struggle. Broken twigs, smashed up grass, footsteps in the mud that look erratic and not like a normal stepping pattern. Also, keep your eyes peeled for weird, supernatural stuff too. Maybe like a dog footprint in the mud that seems way too big for a dog. Or maybe like a flipper print in the mud that seems way too big for a fish.
Wouldn't it be weird, whatever size flipper it would be, to be in the dirt in the parking lot of Sportzo Baseballs?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be weird if it was like a regular sized fish fin print, but like, I'm not concerned about that. I have, no pun intended, bigger fish to fry. It's only if it's a really big flipper that it might be the Loch Ness Monster, but I don't think it's the Loch Ness Monster, probably. Also, keep your nose peeled for the scent of sulfur, brimstone, cabbage.
What does brimstone smell like?
Like rotten eggs.
Okay. All right. Carlos takes out a little notepad that was in the back pocket of his pants or in his shorts and starts writing down all these things. Okay. Cool. I think I got it all down. Do you like my spy notebook? It's tiny and it fits in my tiny little pocket in my tiny little shorts.
Yeah, Carlos, it's a great spy notebook. I'm sure it comes in handy for all the spying you do.
Well, today's my only day that I've gone spying, but I think I feel like it's going to be a good day.
What? Carlos, I would have thought you were a professional at this.
Whoa, thank you.
You are such an appropriate color scheme for stealth.
I thought so too. Orange and pink?
Yep.
Carlos, in his short terry cloth orange shorts, skate ahead of Theodore and around to the back part of the parking lot to look for clues of any struggle or signs of kidnapping from Upton St. Queeth. Theodore, do you see that car over there?
Hold on.
And Theodore blades over and does a cool jump and a 360 spin and grinds to a stop near Carlos.
What is it?
The car. Do you see it?
My car? Yeah, it's really cool.
No, the purple Mustang over there. Oh, whoa. It's a different car because Angela had a Mustang. What are other cars?
And everyone's going to remember that from episode one.
I will. I know that. That purple Fiat over there.
Wow, yeah. How did I miss the purple Fiat? That's a really distinctive looking car.
It really is. That's Upton St. Queef's car.
How do you know?
Well, we used to be...
How do you know that that's Upton St. Queef's purple Fiat?
Yeah. Well, besides it being really recognizable, we were on the dance committee last year together. And Upton had to take me home sometimes.
Doesn't look like a very comfy ride to get a ride home in.
It wasn't. Carlos looks off into the abyss.
Well, if that's Upton's car, how did he leave the party?
I don't know.
The mystery gets more mysterious.
Is the car unlocked?
Hunter, without a second thought, smashes the window of the car with his elbow.
It is now.
You can't just do that.
What? He's missing. He's not going to care.
Well, I mean...
If we find him and he's alive, I'll apologize for smashing his window.
Okay, well, do you see his phone in there or anything?
Hunter's just like, he's leaning in the car through the window with like his feet in the air. He doesn't actually get in the car.
Let's see, we got spare change in the cup holders. We got some gum. We got like a bajillion Patrick's Patties wrappers in here. This dude does not clean his car. This is a small car too, so the trash piles up fast. But, other than that, I don't really see anything of use in here.
Carlos takes a couple steps closer to the Fiat. Since he's on rollerblades and he can't really rollerblade that good, he's just picking up his feet one by one, stepping over a little bit. Look right there, on the dirt path right next to the car.
What?
It looks like someone was dragged away.
You're right, the leaves. They've left a trail. Something or someone got dragged into the anodyne pines.
Do we follow it?
Well, it's the woods.
So no, we shouldn't go in there.
And we're on rollerblades.
Yeah.
And you didn't bring shoes.
I didn't bring shoes. So what do we do?
If only there was a way we could figure out or see what happened that night in this parking lot.
Oh, what if we just go inside and ask to see the videotapes? There's cameras right there, do you see? Facing out into the parking lot. We can just ask to see it.
They have security cameras?
Yeah, and like we could just say that this car is ours and someone broke into our car, since you did break the window, and just say we're trying to figure out who did it and ask if we can see the tapes. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
I mean, how else would we get to see that night?
I was, like, pretty sure that they didn't have security cameras on the outside.
Do you see? One, two, three, oh, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yeah, there's ten. Someone's gotta have seen what happened.
Well, I seem to have talked myself into this one, so, all right. Let's go ask the manager of Sportso Baseballs to look at his security footage.
I'll race you there! Carlos takes off on his rollerblades.
Wait, buddy.
Whoa!
Hold on, Carlos.
He trips over some gravel and falls. Yeah. Ow!
Maybe we should put shoes on.
Oh, you didn't bring shoes. God damn it.
It's okay. I'll just take them off and walk in with my socks on.
This entire conversation and exchange happens off camera, as our camera has remained lingering at the end of the dirt path at the edge of the forest. As Carlos trips and falls away, followed by Hunter Von Price, our camera zooms slowly on something unnoticed to these two goobers just past the edge of the forest. We see beyond the leaves, beyond the trees, actually amidst the trees and more leaves, if I'm being honest, emerging from what looks like a pile of stones, an opening to a cave. We cut to the interior of Patrick's Patties.
Nope. Sportso Baseballs.
We cut to the interior of Sportso Baseballs. Chairs upturned on tables. Cleaning crew still making their way around, sweeping up floors, emptying trash cans, replacing floor mats, and bringing in new bags of clean towels. We see behind the host stand a sole individual who's wearing a shirt with enough buttons on it that they look like a manager.
Carlos pushes the doors wide open and confidently walks up to what he thinks is the manager while he's holding his rollerblades. Carlos looks down at his feet, which are covered with long purple socks with a picture of him, Tim, and Zeke on it.
Did you get those socks custom made?
I did.
Yeah.
When they were my best friends. Don't know what we are now.
Excuse me, boys, we don't open for another hour yet.
Well, we're not
here. We know.
Yeah. We're not here for food.
Great, because the kitchen's, the grills aren't even hot or anything. I just had that door unlocked for the cleaning crew to get in and out. Also, we did no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Well,
the manager says, pointing to a large sign.
Listen, you'll have to forgive my partner here. He lost his shoes while we were chasing down a perp.
Well, I actually only have rollerblades.
Chasing down a perp.
Do you want
yes,
me to
hello, my
put
name
the rollerblades
is...
on?
I don't want you to put the rollerblades on. I don't actually care what you're about to say next. I would love for you both to just leave. I got to do the floor plan and stuff here still.
Sir, my name is Special Agent Frederick Blanthinson.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
That's a name that you just made up?
No, it isn't.
You
my
are
name is Frederick Meredith Blanthinson.
17.
Of the San Francisco Blanthinsons.
I'm looking at you and you are a child. I can see with my eyes. You're both teen children. And that's not your name.
It is my name.
Mr. Sportso Baseball.
My name is not Mr. Sportso Baseball.
What's your name?
I'm not the owner.
What's your name?
Is the owner's name Sportso Baseball?
My name's Mark.
Okay, Mark.
I'm just the manager.
Okay, Mark, the manager.
We are not open.
That's okay. Listen.
I don't know if this
that?
Is some kind of like TikTok thing,
no.
Prank war.
No. Carlos starts crying. Mark.
Oh, whoa, buddy. Okay.
Oh, you see what you did? Now he's crying.
My car, my purple Fiat in the parking lot. Someone broke into it.
Someone smashed his window in.
Do
they
you
took
see
his stuff.
It? They took my stuff. They
took his what's some stuff you have? A laptop?
A uh-oh. Game Boy.
A Game Boy.
My Pogs.
Buddy.
All of his Pogs.
All my Pogs.
All of his Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
And I just wanted to ask you if I could see the tapes. The tapes from a couple nights ago because I love my car.
Yeah, here. We want to see if anything weird happened.
I just want to know who
with
took
his
my
car.
Pogs.
Buddy, that car's been out there for a few days.
I was
starting to wonder whose it was.
I was so high the other night.
Whoa,
and
okay,
I
man.
I didn't want to drive home. My mom would have been so mad at me.
Listen, we're really trying to help him through a difficult time right now, and this whole car theft thing is just really not.
Well, the car, I can see the car.
Through the window, they theft
in
my window.
In his car.
And the Pong.
It's still a car theft if they leave the car and they take stuff out of your car.
Yeah.
That's still a car theft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stuff was stolen from his car.
And I'm sorry, I would never come into Sportso Baseball at 9 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to make the floor plan, but I really just need to see the the tapes. My mom is going to kill me.
Yeah, and I'm from the FBI and I'm trying to help him.
You know, you didn't have to have your friend come in here and lie to me.
I did. He's just really protective, and he knew that you might have not let me see the tapes, and so he was just kind of my backup.
Yeah, I thought if I convinced you that I was an FBI agent that you wouldn't ask any questions and we would get to see the tapes.
Because everyone just thinks I'm a nice, soft boy and won't do anything that I need them to do.
Also, for the record, the FBI thing has definitely worked for me before.
Were your shoes in the car too, buddy?
My shoes, my Birkenstocks. But they didn't take my rollerblades, and that's all I have left.
Wait, are they the strappy Birkenstocks or the little closed-toed ones?
Oh, the closed-toed ones are ugly as fuck.
Tammy, can you please just finish up the floors and get out of here?
I'm sorry. It was an important question. It matters. You're two types of people if you wear one or the other.
The potato shoes.
Okay. Yes, exactly. I'll go.
Yeah, he was actually planning on coming in today to apply to be a line cook here. That's why he bought those new Birkenstocks. He scrimped and saved, and he just wants a line cook job at his favorite restaurant, Sportso Baseball.
But now it's
would have to wear closed-toed shoes.
But now it's so embarrassing because...
You just said he has the closed-toed kind!
Closed-toed ones.
He's got the closed-toed kind!
But now I'm in...
That means something, I swear!
Oh my god.
But now I have these little shorts on and I'm crying!
Mark!
I'm crying in the Sportso Baseball. It's so embarrassing.
You can set them in my section. I know we're not open, but like, it's cool. They're cool.
Thank you, Tammy. We're not here for food!
Okay. I'm going to make the T sign with my hands.
Okay.
That means time out.
Okay.
Because this is a lot right now.
Yeah.
And I get paid $14 an hour.
That's not a lot of money.
I get less.
So I just, to everyone here, Tammy, please finish sweeping your section. I can still see the chairs on top of the tables. We open in 45 minutes.
Who's going to get them down in that?
Officer, special...
No, not officer.
Special agent made-up name. You can wait outside, buddy. I'm tired of the screaming and hollering and the line, and I do not need it.
Carlos, are you going to be okay?
I think so. And then Carlos reaches in his back pocket. I got my notebook.
All right, listen. I'm going to wait for you in the gremlin, all right?
Okay.
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 Mark? I got my fucking eye on you, buddy.
I'm not intimidated by you.
And Hunter turns around and rollerblades out of the restaurant because he never actually took his rollerblades off.
All right. What did you say your name was?
Carlos Espinoza.
Okay. Carlos Espinoza, you can come with me back into the office and we can review the security footage, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Mark, manager.
We cut away from Sportso Baseballs to another brief montage of Saturday morning stuff going around Chillhaven.
Kids playing soccer.
A dog shitting on a yard that does not belong to him.
A very old lady walking very slowly to get her mail.
And as that old lady slips in that pile of dog shit from the dog that was not hers, we pan up to see the home of one Zeke Lynn.
We see Zeke Lynn awake and alert, bright and early, packing a Ziploc bag full of trail mix and a book called Staying Alive in a Haunted House for Dummies and his Nintendo Switch into a backpack as he awaits for his best friend Penny White's arrival.
We hear a doorbell ring at the residence of Zeke Lynn. And we see Penny standing outside, ringing it over and over.
Hi, Penny!
And Penny walks in. We see Penny, dressed in all black, carrying a backpack full of snacks and a flashlight, ready for her adventure.
Good morning!
Morning!
I have had my Mountain Dew today. I am alert and ready.
Good.
Penny.
Yeah?
I had a thought.
Wow! Just kidding. What is it?
Ordinary Falls is far away.
Yes.
And you hate riding on my hoverboard.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Also, we're just two people, and we're going back to a spooky place where we almost got eaten by clown skeletons.
Find us a car?
Well, no, I didn't. Yeah, I was strolling around last night, and I saw a car on the side of the road, and I thought that'd be perfect. No.
You built us a car?
I was thinking, what if we called Ron and had Ron come along?
Oh, duh. Yeah, why didn't we think of that before?
Right, like Ron. Angela's not around to drive us, but like Ron was so helpful the last time we all went to Ordinary.
I mean, he's been helpful every time, and then the one time that we didn't invite him is when it all went to shit. So
yeah, exactly.
We should, yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah.
Plus, I feel like Ron, like, really, you know, like, understands the mom stuff maybe better than a lot of other people do.
Yeah, I know.
It just wouldn't be as much catching him up to speed.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah.
Tell Ron everything.
Well, yeah, give him a call.
All right.
Go for Ron.
Ronnie!
Hey, Zeke, what's up, my bad dog?
Hey, Ron!
Oh, Penny there, too?
Yeah, Penny's
Penny.
Here.
Yeah, it's me, Penny.
Hey, Ronnie, you got any plans today, bud?
Oh, man, I was gonna watch the State versus You game, but, I mean, if you got something better going on, I can always record it on the DVR.
Well, listen, Ron, as our best friend, you know what Penny and I
That's
are.
Me.
You know what Penny and
Ron
I are.
Ron Fetus.
Ron Fetus, our best friend. You know what Penny and I are going through right now, like, with our moms and stuff, and, you know, trying to figure out where they went, and whether or not they either of them still wants to murder Penny, either by demonic possession or by bullet two head.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Well, we were heading back to Ordinary Falls today, and...
Where?
Ordinary Falls. It's the, you know, it's the next town over. You were there when me and Penny and Angela and also you went there, and we went to that spooky house, and there were all the skeletal clowns inside that almost murdered us all, but then you, because you're the most talented and best out of the group, like, saved the day and got us out of there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, we figured, because, you know, Angela's usually, like, the transportation on these missions and stuff, but we'll... She's busy with
self-discovery.
Yeah, sure.
I've been there, man.
So we know that you have a cool car.
Yeah, the Ronmobile?
Yeah, the Ronmobile. Absolutely. So we were hoping, like, you know, you'd want to maybe hang out today and, like, give us a ride to Ordinary Falls and maybe help us solve this momstery.
Well, I guess I'd better hit start on that DVR. Of course I'll help you guys out. Come
Yay!
On.
He said yes?
He said yeah.
Yes.
Friday.
Ron
for the win.
Up top. Oh, wait, we're on the phone. I can't high-five you.
That's okay. I'm doing it in spirit. Me and Penny will high-five.
High-five.
Quapish. I did it on my end also.
Okay. Well, cool. We're at my house. So, you know, just we'll hang out here. We got snacks. You don't like garlic bread, right?
It's not my favorite.
Yeah, you fucking freak. Who doesn't like garlic bread? What a weirdo. Okay. Anyway, we got other we got other snacks that aren't garlic bread. So come on over and hang out. And, yeah, and we'll head over to Ordinary Falls. And you'll help us find out where our moms are.
Okay, be there post haste.
Thanks, bud. Love you. God, I love that guy.
What a great guy.
Yeah, he's our best friend in the whole world.
Yeah, how did we ever think we could do this without him?
I don't know. When I think of all the times that Ron has saved our life, like,
like every
time. I think we'd all be dead if he wasn't here.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine just you, me, and Angela trying to solve all these problems on our own?
No.
Ludicrous. We're
yeah.
all freaking morons.
Well.
Ron's the smart one.
Smartest.
What are you trying to say?
That some of us are smart, too? It's a compliment. I don't know. What are you talking about? Are you packed?
Yeah, I'm packed. I got my trail mix. I got my Nintendo Switch.
All right. And then we wait for Ron.
You want to play Smash Bros. While we wait for Ron?
You feel like losing before we go on an adventure?
Fuck you. Let's go. Upstairs. Now.
At the moment that conversation happened, Zeke barely has time to get halfway up the stairs before you hear the dusty old horn of Ron's Dragula. We cut to a shot of the exterior of Zeke's house, where we see, illuminated under the beautiful Saturday late morning sun, a very dirty, dusty, matte black, dinged and scratched up, nondescript 60s-ish looking car with no hood ornament or branding anywhere on it.
Shotgun.
Damn it.
Hey, Penny, you know you gotta do that thing to get the passenger door open, right?
Oh, yeah. Two hits and an elbow, right?
Hey, there you go. You got it.
Okay, and then also do the two hits and the elbow to your seat so I can get behind it and sit in the back.
If you're nice.
Hey, Zeke, sorry about all the dirt back there.
That's no problem.
Just
Zeke
brush
loves
it off
dirt.
Onto the floor.
Okay. There's like whole clods back here.
Yeah, it's, I was off-roaded with the boys.
Wait, who are the boys? I thought what? We were your friends.
Yeah.
You're my friends from back home. I've told you about those.
Your boys were here?
Yeah, the Boston boys.
The boys are back in town?
No, they left again.
Oh.
Damn it.
When do we get to meet them? You said last time.
Yeah,
sometimes
Ron.
They leave, sometimes they come back, you know?
Okay, well, the next time the boys are back in town, let us know, because...
I'm kind of offended they haven't wanted to meet us,
yeah,
but okay.
We want to meet your boys, Ron.
Like, your friends can be friends, right?
Yeah, you know what they say.
Yeah.
Make new friends, keep the old.
Yeah. And then everyone hang out sometimes.
And then everyone hang out sometimes.
Yeah.
You're so freaking smart, Ron.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Ordinary Falls?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that we've all been there before, but I, you know how I am with directions. If you guys want to just, like, guide me a little bit.
Ron, I keep telling you, you gotta get a GPS or something. Or a cell phone. Get a cell phone.
No, man, I can't be tied down like that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool that you're so, like, grounded and in touch with reality.
Yes, I love to be in touch with the ground.
He says as he fingers a clod of dirt.
Okay, well, basically you're just gonna, you know how to get on the highway?
Yeah, sure.
Get on the highway going east, you're gonna drive all the way around Lake Obelisk, and then, like,
I feel Google like most it. People would say it's easier to just give directions as you go instead of, like, say them all at the beginning.
Yeah, and it's, what it is, though, is really cool to listen to. Someone give made-up directions to a fake place. It's really compelling stuff. All right, let's hit the road, losers.
Highway going east.
And we cut to a wide shot of Ron's beat-up old car, belching out red-tinged blackish smoke as it peels out of Zeke's driveway and onto the road.
Is this car powered by blood?
It's a blood car. We cut to the former home of the formerly alive Florence Beauregard. Now the current home of the formerly dead Dick Spangler. What's Dick up to this beautiful Saturday afternoon?
Dick is doing some late spring cleaning. He is tidying the place up. Dick loves to vacuum. That is his favorite cleaning task as of late. He has really gotten into, like, meal prepping for school. He takes his own lunch. He likes to do that himself.
We zoom slowly in on Dick in the kitchen doing his weekly meal prep.
He's wearing a robe.
Oh, okay. That's what kind important. Of robe?
Like a very plush, like, cream robe, like tied very neatly, and some matching slippers.
What kind of meal prep is he doing? What's he making?
Ooh, I feel like he's a grilled chicken man. Mm-hmm. Like probably enjoys like salad prep because it's like easy to transport. Yeah, I think it's a salad week. I think he does like an A-B system, so it's like week A is salads, week B switches it up a little. Maybe he does like some rice bowls or some pasta. But during the stressful weeks, it's just salads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as Dick is in his fluffy robe and matching slippers doing this meal prep in the kitchen, we see emerging from the floor directly by his feet the top of a hooded head, followed by the rest of the hooded form of the spectral entity known to us as Kerrigan Orb, the Omega Witch.
Oop. Whoa there. Haven't gotten quite used to you popping up through my floors yet. I mean, our floors. Is it okay that I share the floors with you?
Dick, we've spoken about this before. I don't use the floors. I float. They're all yours.
Right. That's very nice of you. I just Wanted to make sure you feel as comfortable as possible, because I know I'm kind of in your space, and I'm just checking.
I long ago ceased having the ability to experience physical sensation. I have memories of touch.
Wow. You know,
I have memories of touch, too. They're some of my favorite.
Hi there, Wally. Always good to see you.
We see from the neck up, poking through the floorboards, the head of Wallace Patter Goodwin. And then we see also poking through the floorboards, the hand and wrist of Wallace Patter Goodwin, holding a teeny little glass of ghostly absinthe from which he takes a sip. I'm not staying. I just wanted to pop in with an innuendo. Goodbye.
Oh, bye. Nice to see you.
I also will not be staying. I'm stepping out of the house, Dick. I will see you in approximately 2 hours.
Oh, okay. I'll probably be around. And you know, as per usual, Kerrigan, if you need anything, you know, it's just me, Dick.
I require very little these days, as I am a spectral form without physical needs. However, my emotional needs is another story. Hence why I'm going to group. I will see you in a couple hours.
Alrighty. Be safe.
Kerrigan has emerged the rest of the way through the floor and now makes her way past you out to the living room and to the front door.
As Kerrigan walks out the door, Dick takes a few steps to run after her and says, you're going what group again?
Oh, yes. Are you aware of the dead child, Violet Crankshaw?
I've seen her around. I've heard mentions.
She has given me word recently of her intent to organize a group for support for spectral entities in Chillhaven, of which, as I mentioned, I am one. So, going to go talk to the other ghosts.
Oh. Well, that's interesting.
Also,
kind of nice. Well, I've never heard of something like that before, but I guess we do have the community for it now, so part of me thinks that's really nice.
Many people have died here.
That is what I was referring to.
Including yours. Well, no, you were dead when you got here.
Right. I've died.
You
arrived
like, here.
Yes, I was reborn, and that is weird for me as well. So let me know if you find a group for that, actually. Have you met Violet?
Yes. She hovered through a few days ago.
And your impression of her was?
I'm withholding judgment.
That's very nice of you. And something I've always admired about you, actually.
Thank you. She's possessed of a great deal of enthusiasm.
She always has. For the things that she feels strongly about. That is something I've heard about Violet, yes. Where is the group being held? If you don't mind me asking.
In the basement of a church. Apparently that's where these things occur.
Right. Basement of a church. Which church in town is it?
The Christian one.
The Christian one. The one right downtown?
Yes, the downtown Christian
church. Downtown Christian church. Perfect. Well, I want to say I appreciate you sharing this information with me. And I hope you know I care about you. And I hope the group is able to help you. And I hope you want to talk about it when you get home.
Thank you for laying your hopes out for me.
I always lay my hopes out for people.
That's true about you. We were friends once.
Yeah.
Now we are roommates.
Which is kind of fun.
Yes. I could experience it as fun.
If you can, I'd love you to start.
Wally, you may accompany me to group.
No, I'm okay. I've had over 100 years to come to terms with my death, and I decided 99 ago that I wasn't going to.
Oh, well, over a few more millennia, your feelings can change.
I'm waiting.
Anyway, I'm going to be late, so. And then Kerrigan hovers out through the front wall.
Au revoir!
That's weird. Kerrigan never goes anywhere.
Yes, well, frankly, it will be nice to not be told anything I don't understand for the next several hours.
Yeah, she's confusing, but been through a lot.
Haven't we all?
And I don't know. It's nice to see her, even if it doesn't feel the same, you know?
I don't know what it's like what either of you have gone through.
That makes sense.
This awkward conversation is mercifully interrupted by three remarkably precise and abrupt knocks on the front door.
Oh, better get that. We see Dick open the door.
Dick, you open the front door, and you are greeted with the presence of another human being. Their head buzzed. Their eyes covered with large, round glasses. Adorning their frame, a pristine white lab coat atop other nondescript basic articles of clothing. We're looking at one Vesper Indigo.
Oh, hey, Vesper. I wasn't expecting you today.
Yeah, I'm sure you weren't.
Okay, that was a little pointed. Would you like to come in?
That's why I'm here.
To come in?
I don't want to play word games with you, Dick. Can I just come inside?
I just like clarity, but yeah, come on in, Vesper.
We see Vesper take a few steps inside and take a moment to look around the cabin. And they say, I like what you've done with the place.
I was going to ask you that, but thank you. Would you like anything to eat, drink? I got salads.
To drink?
No, the other one.
I'll take a glass of water, thank you.
Coming right up. We see Dick take off his fuzzy robe to grab just a jean jacket to pop on over, and takes off his fuzzy slippers and puts on his boots so that he's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And returns with a glass of water for Vesper. Here you go, buddy.
Thanks.
So, what brings you here today?
Listen, Dick, we need to talk.
All right.
You are, of course, I'm sure aware that I am aware that you have been working with my mother on something.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people, you know, not to, you know, be too blunt, have their suspicions about her. But to me, she's been a pretty fine woman. And, you know, I think deep down we want the same things, you know. But anyway, I'll let you continue. I'm just talking.
I believe that you think that. I do not have suspicions about her, Dick. I've known her, my entire life as she birthed and raised me.
I had a similar experience with my mother.
Did you know that she's revoked all of my security clearances to every level before sub-basement D?
I did not. She didn't bring that up to me. Did something happen?
You tell me.
I don't know.
Dick, my entire life, my mother has never revoked access to any point of the lab at any time. Even places I arguably should not have been going and seen things I should not have seen.
Well, maybe now she's concerned about your safety. Maybe now she realizes that some things should just be kept separate.
Dick, I need you to know that my mother is not to be trusted. Whatever she may have told you, whatever you two may be working on, whatever ends of yours it serves, I'm sure it is serving other ends of hers that are nefarious and horrible.
Well, I can't speak to that. All I can speak to is that bad things can happen to a lot of people, and measures have to be taken to prevent that. And it seems like your mother and I are on the same page about that. Now, I don't know why you and your mom don't get along that well. I believe that, you know, she's
because
not
she's
hurt.
A psychopath.
Okay, that isn't what I was going to say, but I, you know, you did.
What measures are you taking, Dick?
Well, I mean, we haven't really done much yet. We're just, you know, testing some things out and, you know, brainstorming, and you know how it goes down there.
I feel like you're deliberately obfuscating.
Well, not to be rude, but if she's keeping you out of those spaces, then I don't want to be the one going behind her back to give you that information. I
feel like you might be shutting someone down.
Ooh. Shut them down.
I got an 8.
Ooh.
Okay. So, Vesper does not have a string on Dick. So, you can either gain a string on Vesper, give them a condition, or take one forward, but you're going to come across poorly, which means Vesper's going to take or give you a condition.
Okay. I'll take a string on Vesper.
Okay.
we may agree to disagree on a lot of things here, but just know that I do have everyone's best interest at heart.
That's my you're not listening to me. My point is that you may have everyone's best interest at heart. My mother does not.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have to see it with my own eyes. I know that's probably not what you want to hear, but I don't know anyone else that can help on this issue. And I know you probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because you won't tell me what you're talking about. I just asked you what you were talking about, and you deliberately obfuscated the question. Because does Zeke know what you're working on down there?
Well, he knows some. We haven't, honestly, I haven't seen him in a little bit to really, like, get into it. But, I don't know. That's none of your business, actually.
He's my friend, so it is actually my business.
I'm going to tell him you said that. I'm going to tell him you said that.
Everyone's ears.
Yeah, what?
Listen, no one cares about Zeke more than I do, and trust me that I'm going to be keeping him safe, so why would I work with someone that's going to endanger the people that I love the most?
That's what I'm wondering, Dick.
Ooh.
Listen, I think we can work through this somehow. You're just going to have to give me some time to really have this plan thought out so that I can feel comfortable sharing it, because it's just too early right now. But I appreciate your concern.
I know that lab and those systems like the back of my hand. I will figure out what you two are up to. And when I find out, I'm not keeping it to myself.
Well, I guess we'll deal with that when the time comes.
I guess we will. Thanks for the water, Dick.
Would you like a to-go cup?
You have to-go cups?
Why, yes, I do. I like to create a hospitable environment in my new home. We have lids.
Well, without lids, they're just shitty cup. No, I don't need a to-go cup.
Well, fine then. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, Vesper. I hope next time our exchange is, you know, a little more peppy.
I'm watching you. Vesper says as they back out through the front door, doing the two fingers to eyes and two fingers back to Dick thing. And then they stumble a little bit on the front steps, and then they perk back up and they resume the fingers to eyes, fingers to Dick thing as they back away.
All right. We see Dick just slowly shut the door.
We cut back to Sports O Baseballs, this time inside the manager's office. We see a small room with a crudely built wooden desk about the length of one wall of this room. Underneath this desk in a corner, we see a safe. On top of this desk, there's a bunch of papers and receipts and keys and bullshit. On the walls, we see hung up a corkboard, also full of papers and bullshit and charts and cost breakdowns, etc. Across from this, we see a series of computer monitors, each of them displaying camera footage from an array of cameras. Some we can see are placed inside the restaurant. Others we can see are placed outdoors. But every single one of them is moving. These cameras appear to be set on a moving timer, where each of them sweeps around about a 45-degree angle of whatever they're pointed at. We see the manager, Mark, button-down shirt with a Sports O Baseballs logo tastefully embroidered over the pocket, as he clickety-clacks away at a keyboard. Beside him, one, Carlos Espinosa, shoeless.
Carlos plops his rollerblades down. Okay, Mark.
Can you, those are covered in dirt. Can you get them away from the computer?
Sorry. Carlos picks him back up and holds him close to his chest.
Sorry, I'm sorry, but I know you're going through a lot. I'm really not trying to be short. It's just
no,
like...
it's okay. I'll just hold him. It's fine. I really just... let's play the tapes.
Yeah, so I'm dialing up the that day and time of the party. Do you know... so, okay. So here's your fiat. I guess you must be inside the party at this point.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We cut now. To the small square of array of cameras viewing the parking lot. The Fiat visible in only one of them. And even in this camera, only for moments at a time. As I said, the camera swivels across a 45-degree angle, sometimes showing the car directly in its entirety. But at others, at the far end, only the front bumper is visible in frame. we watch, zooming further in on this one camera. The camera swings over, showing the Fiat. It swings back, showing the forest. Swings down, showing the Fiat. And that is when we see, walking into frame, one, Upton St. Queef. Oh, I guess this must be the guy who's walking up to rob your car.
Yeah.
He looks like he's trying to get into it.
Yeah, he does. That's so weird. Did he break the window?
No, it doesn't look like it. Sorry, the night vision on these things isn't very good.
Okay, let's keep watching. Carlos leans in a little bit closer to the screen.
We all lean in a little bit closer to the screen as we zoom further in. The camera sweeping to the Fiat, to the forest. In the Fiat, we see Upton St. Queef attempting to open the driver's side door. The camera swings back to the forest. Moments ago, empty. But now, we see another figure standing, silhouetted in darkness. Eyes glowing red, even in this camera's lens. Wearing a black leather jacket, tight black pants, and a partially open button-down, revealing a glinting red amulet. We see Ron Fetus.
Carlos puts his hand over his mouth.
The camera swings back to the Fiat. By the time it has returned to the Fiat, Upton St. Queef is gone. The camera swings back to the forest, and we see nothing except the drag marks in the dirt, ending at the mouth of a cave.
Penny White and Dick Spangler are played by Ness Lawson. Angela Atticus Jr. and Carlos Espinosa are played by Megan Stressman. Zeke Lynn and Hunter Von Price are played by James Kedlar. James is also the composer for all of Chillhaven's original music. Ron Fetus, as well as every other colorful character in Chillhaven, are played by our game master and producer, Philip Jane Stressman. Additional sound effects provided by Zapsplat.com. Monster Hearts tabletop game created by Avery Alder. Good night, everyone.